If people are looking for belonging, if people are looking for the way to resource themselves, to connect to bigger self, whatever that bigger self could mean for them, this is an incredible inner map that can shine light of this kind of unlimited, untapped worlds that contain within ourselves. For me, it's all about putting agency into yourself and realizing it is not about anything that happens to us externally or access we have to external resources or don't have. It's realizing that there is this miraculous being inside of us that once we plug into it, possibilities are endless and our transformation journey can begin. It's about diving deep and finding treasures and finding like deep oceans and rivers flowing inside us that can really help us navigate life, can help us feel like our true selves, living our own lives.
We're all alone, and we're all
welcome to A Lone Traveler's Guide to the Divine, a podcast for seekers, dreamers, healers, and anyone on their healing journey. It's been a while since I released an episode, and I'm super thrilled that I have now stockpiled multiple episodes and that I will be releasing again every new and full moon for the foreseeable future. And I'm very excited about today's episode. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Embodied Flow Yoga teacher training that I participated in Bali this past winter. And the kind of yoga that I'm now teaching, which is called Polarity Somatic Yoga. I wanted to just touch on how it's influenced by embodied flow and some of the amazing things that I learned there, and also how it is distinctly different and what makes Polarity Somatic Yoga unique. I also am going to be sharing a short interview that I did with a friend of mine from the Embodied Flow training. I asked her to share some of her story on the podcast because it's an exceptional story. She has some personal history with mind-body healing that I just thought was very inspiring. Marina shares her first introduction to somatic yoga and how she was able to heal from kidney stones painlessly just from a partner exercise in her very first workshop with somatic yoga. And in addition, she also shares a really incredible story about how her father healed himself from cancer using similar body-mind sensing tools of just tuning into the body and doing that work of connecting with our body's innate ability to heal itself. So I'm really, really looking forward to sharing this interview with you. But before I dive in to this interview with my friend Marina, I wanted to just invite that we come into a space, a conscious space together, just in a little bit of an experiential way, tuning in and inviting a little somatic exercise, a little tune in, if you will. I want to start this episode in this way because it's one thing to talk about these principles and it's another to actually experience them. And it's not hard to experience this concept from anywhere you are, no matter what you're doing. You could be in movement, you could be sitting, driving, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. It's not hard to drop in and connect with your body and your energy. So I wanted to just start with that. And then I'm going to be just sharing from my heart and from my body some of the principles and the experiences that I think make this work really unique. So to begin, we're just going to start with a nice clearing breath. Inhale through the nose. And exhale, maybe a little sigh, or growl, some sound. Inhaling all the way into the bottom of your belly, maybe all the way into your toes. And exhaling anything you want to let go of, maybe shake it out, wiggle your fingers, shake your arms and your wrists, Shake your shoulders, just getting rid of anything that's excess, anything that you don't need. Inviting your awareness to begin to move inward from the exterior of your body to the internal environment. Closing your eyes if that's safe and practical for you in the moment. Otherwise, just turning your focus to the interior of your fluids, tissues, bones. Feeling your heart beating, your blood is pumping, and all of these autonomic systems are just happening miraculously. Neurons are firing. Muscles are moving you, breathing you, and beginning to draw your presence and awareness to the core of your body. Just scanning gently, as though you could look around with a little flashlight. Just seeing all of these organs and glistening, pink, beautiful happenings. And continuing to breathe in and deeper, slower. Becoming curious. What else is here? What sensations are you noticing? Emotions, colors, thoughts, temperature changes, tingles, chills, aches, relaxing responses, and just allowing your awareness to flow gently through your whole entire body. Noticing if there's a particular place that feels more interesting. Maybe there's sensation there, or just being drawn to that location. And perhaps bringing in a color, or an image, a resource. Turning up the dial of your own innate wisdom, of your body, mind, your energy, that it knows how to organize itself, to resource itself, to heal, and that we can enhance and tune in and assist our body in its healing process just with our attention, without needing to do anything or change anything. That our awareness is, in and of itself, a kind of tending. And then drawing your attention now to the outer layer of your body, the skin, the largest organ wrapping all the way around your entire bodysuit. This boundary that keeps you from merging with the external environment, keeps your fluids and your vulnerable parts safe. And yet it also connects you with the outer world through sensation and information, and just honoring that transition from internal to external in a soft and gentle way. Beginning to make your way back into the outer layers of your experience, opening your eyes if they're closed, gently and slowly, wiggling fingers, shaking it out again, a few deep breaths, and just bringing that awareness with you, knowing that our interior environment goes with us wherever we go, that we can stay attentive, aware of our needs, and attuned to our own energy at all times. before I share this interview with my dear friend Marina, I just want to speak about some of the profound things that I learned from the Embodied Flow teacher training, and just to touch on how this work has influenced the way that I want to bring my own polarity somatic yoga into the world, and also how it's a little bit distinctly different. And I wanted to just begin by sharing that I had, and at that time there wasn't a lot of information about the application of yoga for therapeutic purposes beyond physical well-being or as a form of exercise perhaps. But over the years, there have been so many advances in the study of yoga and the amazing impacts it can have on our nervous system and how supportive it can be for trauma resolution, for healing on so many levels, mind, body, and spirit. So in my own yoga journey, my studies back in Evergreen brought me to Ashtanga yoga, which was a very powerful daily practice for me for about 15 years. I had the same certified Ashtanga teacher and I went every day, and it was really a practice for me of coming home into my body in a way that I never had before. And the daily ritual of showing up and doing these physical postures was a great map for me. I got to know the terrain really well, so I could tell what was throwing me off or when there was something going on. And over the years of practicing in this way, I had the opportunity to really observe and release a lot of stuck energy and emotion in various parts of my body. And that was really the best way that I had to learn. It was through this experience of doing. And more recently, in the last few years, I started to really feel there was more that I wanted from my practice. I was feeling this call to explore a more fluid way of experiencing yoga. And Embodied Flow is a combination of somatics, hatha yoga, movement meditation, tantric philosophy, transpersonal psychology, and an orientation to the work of body-mind centering specifically, which is a modality that I had not experienced prior to this training. And in the 5 weeks that I spent in Bali attending this yoga intensive, which was all day, every day, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., I was able to immerse myself in these practices of really deep experiential anatomy, embodied anatomy, and moving through different developmental patterns and mental perceptual patterns, and all of that being sort of lovingly cleansed through the lens of a non-dualistic tantric meditation. But also, there was this element of free movement that was integrated into the practices. So sometimes there was a little bit of asana, sometimes none, but always there was some aspect of free movement. Conscious dance is another passion of mine. I've been dancing five rhythms for a couple of decades almost, and it's always been a very profound practice for me and a way of processing emotions, processing energy, and feeling myself embodied, feeling present. And I've never thought that I could put those things together. Yoga is such static postures, and then the free movement is the opposite of that. So to combine those two has been incredibly powerful and fun. I love the experience of letting loose and finding myself in my body through music and through rhythm. I find this to be a very powerful way to move energy. So I was so grateful to find such a creative blend and such a different approach to yoga. I took this experience home with me, and I've been digesting it and playing with it and you know, munching on it and crunching on it and trying it on in these different forms. And what I knew I wanted out of a practice that I want to step out and teach was to bring in polarity therapy and the energy exercises, craniosacral therapy, not just in a hands-on way, but also in an experiential unwinding fascial kind of way. And then this free movement and the asana. So how could I combine all of these things? I've been on a journey of experimenting and putting these pieces together, and it's been profound, and I'm very excited to be starting to share that with my community and also online. So wherever you are, I'd invite you to check out my website, elevationhive.com, and look into the polarity somatic yoga classes that I will be offering on Zoom as well as in person in the dome. What it's given me is a sense of curiosity, playfulness, and permission to go deeper into the subtleties of how these postures and how yoga can open and unlock us in ways that are unique to each body, actually. And that was another piece that I was really grateful for in the embodied flow somatic yoga training. There was a 30-hour trauma-informed yoga teacher training, and that was exceptionally powerful for me. And I did another yoga teacher training that had some trauma-informed teaching to it. So I definitely went out of my way to do some trainings that would allow me to teach more accessibly to all abilities, because it doesn't have to be a workout. I wanted to offer that as an option, but first and foremost, for this to be a work in, a way to go into our body, into our energy, to process what's here, and in order to honor what's really authentically coming forth from our own innate intelligence, we have to drop the script of what the pose is supposed to look like, what anything is supposed to look like. Polarity somatic yoga is a very non-hierarchical, safe way to nourish and nurture yourself and your nervous system and all of your systems, body, mind, and your energy. You don't have to be flexible or strong or have any yoga experience. I've designed these classes to be able to meet people where they are in any range of their ability, and having trauma-informed language allows for people to never feel like you're being limited by what you can or cannot do. I'm excited to be sharing all of that. And I'm also excited to transition now into this interview with my dear friend Marina, who had shared a story with me while we were traveling together that I just thought was so profound, and I just could not record her telling it. And basically she's sharing how she came to embodied flow, and one of the aspects of this body-mind centering technique of transmission and tuning to different organs and body systems in such a powerful way that it can really truly unlock our healing potential. So I'm going to hand this over to Marina to tell her exceptional story.
So my name is Marina, and I live in England, just north of London in Hertfordshire. And my main occupation is in the space of talent, culture, leadership development. So this is what I'm engaged in full time. But then yoga has been part of my journey for about 15 years now. So I think my interest in yoga was much longer than that. My original training was in Anusara yoga, and this is how I initially got introduced to Tara Judell and embodied flow. And the rest is history.
And you had taken some courses with her before I met you in Bali, yes?
That's right, yes. Yeah. So I met Tara several times when she came to London to teach workshops early in Tara's own exploration, she was offering workshops looking at different body systems, but also our organ body. And a particular workshop I attended with Tara was focusing on heart and kidneys. And it was absolutely fascinating. I mean, the material that Tara was sharing was nothing like I've ever come across. And yet I felt I could understand the language and it was very accessible. So it got me fascinated around kind of the energetic resonance of our organ body. We worked in pairs to explore our kidneys. And kidneys were very easy for me to access at the time because of my history of kidney stones.
You had a family history with that too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it was my grandmother and my mother and my father, and no one quite understood as to why, but it seemed to be hereditary or not. I mean, this is another philosophical question. Is it genetic or is there something in our personality patterning that is passed on from generation to generation? So still exploring that. But yes, I think since I was 15, I had recurrent history of kidney stones. And during the workshop, the girl who had her hands placed in the kidneys shared that she felt very different energy from both of my kidneys. So one felt vibrant and pulsing and full of life, and another one kind of dull and struggling. And it was interesting for me because this is how I also experienced it during our partner work. And then later that day was the first time that I managed to pass kidney stone without kidney colic, which is a very painful condition, as some people may know, they compare it with childbirth. So this was the first time that somehow it happened in a pain-free way and it solved my kidney issues. So for me, it was like, wow, Tara does magic. I'm hooked.
Yeah. And so you didn't realize that you had a kidney stone at that time, right?
No. I had no knowledge. Like, it wasn't like I had issues before I had an x-ray. So no.
Because it had been a while since you had had kidney stones before you went to this workshop.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then you in the workshop, can you describe what kind of partner work were you guys doing and how did that happen that you got kidney healing?
Yes. So, I mean, we started with, it was a long time ago now, we started with just tuning in and a meditation practice to drop into the bodies and kind of silent everything else that was going on. Call all the scattered particles of ourselves to settle. So I think this kind of work requires very high levels of presence. And then we worked in pairs and we would place our hands on the kidneys of another person and spend considerable amount of time just receiving the feeling tone of the kidneys. And so you're tuning into sensations like temperature and vibratory tone. It's a sensory experience and there is no talking going on during this process. And so after the sensory session, this is when we would talk about what we experienced and how we experienced it.
So this partner was tuning into your kidneys. They noticed one was a little stronger than the other. You felt that same thing.
Yeah. So what Tara suggested we did, if we perceive the difference between two, then you kind of reach out to the kidney that seems to be more lively and full of life to teach the other one or to help the other one to tune into that frequency. So we experimented with that. But for me, this material was so new at the time. Like everything was new. The language was new and the sensory experience was new. So I had no expectation except for exploration. And I was surprised how we both perceived very different energetic tone of the kidneys and then introduced this communication between two kidneys. So it felt, I mean, it felt like magic. It's like one
right.
Yeah.
And then you went home that day and you passed the kidney stone that you had no idea you even had. And there was no pain. For the first time.
Exactly. And it was quite substantial size. I mean, it's the biggest kidney stone I had. So,
wow. That's just such a cool story. I love that. I love that you had that experience and that you were willing to share it, because that's like one of those validating things. The strong kidney could support the weaker kidney, you know, just through intention, right?
Yeah. I guess some of the seeds into this journey were planted by my father, who always shared with me that we have agency over our experience and the power of the mind and the power of being present and our inner ability to heal ourselves, to identify the real root cause of any illnesses or disease we have in our body. He introduced these ideas when I was young, and I guess they kind of those seeds continued to grow, and I was very fortunate to come across some people who helped those seeds germinate and grow.
Oh, that's beautiful. So your father planted those seeds for you, that idea that the body can heal and that we can connect with it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember, Amanda, if I shared it with you, but he was diagnosed with terminal cancer in his mid-40s and basically sent home to die. And he found a way to heal himself. In Soviet Union, it's not something you could openly talk about, but he had his own journey. And the journey, I guess, was my inspiration always in the back of my mind, this belief in our, what you could describe, supernatural abilities, but maybe the most natural abilities, and belief in the body's ability to heal, where we just need to get out of the way, I guess, and create right conditions for this to happen.
I don't think you did tell me that story. What did he do to heal himself from cancer in his 40s?
It was a bit of a mystery. His journey was about really dropping into himself. He would spend long periods of time in deep meditation. He didn't call it that. For him, it was kind of dropping his awareness into the body and investigating, trying to perceive what was happening. And he described before, but I think it's quite maybe private to him, some of the perceptions, and then almost rewiring that through power of intention and visualization and sending certain thought patterns into the areas where he felt the root of the disease originated from.
How long was he focusing on this before he discovered that the cancer he had healed?
He wasn't given long to live, so he didn't expect to last long at all. I have a very vivid memory of me being around 3-4 years old when he came to say goodbye. And it was a long process because he was so ill. He could barely walk. He couldn't lift a small water bottle. So it was months. But then I think after 10 years, he was completely clear. There were no signs of him having myeloma, which is a bone marrow cancer, at all. It took a long time to rebuild the density of the bones. And I remember he was sharing when he went for an X-ray, all of his skeleton came back to the kind of normal density. So bones were showing on X-ray, because before they even weren't, because there wasn't enough density. And what they discovered is where the issue remained is in the head. And he realized that was because he wasn't doing any physical exercises to strengthen his skull.
Right.
If he walked a lot with very gentle resistance training to rebuild the bones of the body, but who thinks about the head? Yes.
So right.
His challenge was, okay, how am I going to rebuild the skull? And so he started doing some gentle exercises for his head. And that rebuilt over time. So a lot of patience, a lot of dedication, and I guess a lot of faith that he would be successful. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Did he do any kind of traditional cancer treatment therapies, or just did he work with her?
He did do everything when she was at the hospital, but when they discharged him to go home and die, not since then. Yeah.
Wow. So his entire healing journey was just him. He healed himself.
Yeah.
That's incredible, Marina. That's a really beautiful story. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's so inspiring. And so you grew up with that. You grew up in the midst of him healing himself from cancer. And
yes, and yeah. I think conversations we had were very unique. I mean, I haven't actually come across any other human with whom I would have type of discussions I had with my father, again, until I met Tara. And all of a sudden, I kind of felt she speaks the same language. She speaks the language my dad spoke. And I haven't met anyone else speaking the same language. So there was this inner pull to learn more, to find out more. And this is what ultimately led me to my interest in embodied flow. And I did my first training, my mind module, 8 years ago.
And how would you describe embodied flow? I was just wondering if, from your perception and your relationship, your experience with it, how would you describe it?
I mean, I always find it really difficult to describe because it's
right?
hard to describe, kind of your inner experience. For me, it's quite a unique combination of exploration of the body systems, non-dual philosophy, and the idea of flow. So I was interested in flow, not even from yoga perspective, but from perspective of how do we step into flow, the whole idea of flow in a work setting or in a creative setting. Before I came across embodied flow, my experience of flow was something that sometimes you're blessed to feel in the flow. And when you're not, you're not. And it's not something that you have any agency over. You know, when it happens, you just count your blessings and then it's gone and you're like, okay. And so you crave that, but you don't know how to access that. And for me, I guess the miracle of embodied flow, that it's a system that allows you to more easily access the state of flow. There are multiple doors you can open. There are signposts in your internal landscape, and I now feel that I have agency over my experience of life. So I kind of know which doors I can open, which allow me to access flow or allow me to access bigger self. So this is what embodied flow for me is. It's a possibility to step into flow more readily rather than just wait for the blessing.
I love that. And if you were to, how would you describe the state of flow for you? What is it like when you step into a state of flow?
So for me, it's kind of fear and anxiety disappears. And I mean, I guess I could describe myself as a control freak in a way. Maybe many of us can, many yogis can relate to that. And so it's the opposite of that. It's not trying to manage life or manipulate life to your liking. It's actually this deep sense of surrendering to life and then flow with the currents of life with a very deep ingrained faith, like with a cellular knowing that you're exactly where you need to be while not feeling defeated, but feeling empowered and creative and knowing that when you're in that space, without question, you'll come up with the best solution or best move. And there is this inner knowing of what you need to do and just the sense of being that whether you do it or not, it's no longer important what decision you take. It's more like your state of being is more important because you experience this deep sense of ease and presence. So all other things that used to bother you, they're kind of still there, but they're no longer a burden. They do not impact your state of self.
That's a really beautiful description of flow. That's really great. I love that.
What's interesting for me, and I'm sure it's not just my experience, is that we tap into it and yet we still forget. You know, whenever we are rushed or there is a lot of things we need to sort out, we still get caught up in this. And then at some point you remember, and it's almost like leaning back, you know, kind of yielding into this bigger presence But it's for me, it's constant forgetting and remembering. And so when I remember more frequently, I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, totally. That's exactly it. Oh my goodness.
So that was very powerful, being in the container when you feel so loved and supported. It was very special. So I'm absolutely delighted I've done it. And kind of one of my aha moments were around kind of recognizing that we all experience fear, we all experience doubt, and that the healthy strategy to deal with it is not to push it away, but actually give it space, but then teach from a different place. Like we can experience fear, but we don't need to teach from a place of fear. We can teach from the bigger self, and then there is enough space for fear and anxiety to be there without maybe interfering with the transmission. And so this for me is really empowering. It gives me greater confidence to go, I can invite all of my parts to the party. I don't need to push them away. I don't need to overcome something. I can just create more space, you know, this kind of back body space for everything to be here and still share what comes through.
That's beautifully said. I like how you said the back body space, like leaning back into that bigger self. And that if we can inhabit that space, then all of the other parts can still be there, but they don't have to guide the show, right? That's just beautiful. Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share about why would this be worth taking a class if somebody listening has never experienced that kind of work, tuning into their kidneys in yoga? How does that even go together?
Yeah. I mean, for me, this experience has been life-changing because it is not, ultimately, it's not about experience of my kidneys. It's about feeling connected. It is about feeling resourced. It is about having an inner map of where to draw courage from, where to draw a sense of belonging and connection from. And for me personally, if it wasn't for this journey, I don't think I could do my full-time job. It resourced me to do things I never thought I would be able to do, had courage to do. While we talked about body system and kidneys and some specific experiences, I would say this journey is much more multifaceted, much deeper. And it is about, if people are looking for belonging, if people are looking for the way to resource themselves, to connect to bigger self, whatever that bigger self could mean for them, this is an incredible inner map that can shine light of this kind of unlimited, untapped worlds that contain within ourselves. For me, it's all about putting agency into yourself and realizing it is not about anything that happens to us externally or access we have to external resources or don't have. It's realizing that there is this miraculous being inside of us that once we plug into it, possibilities are endless and our transformation journey can begin. It's about diving deep and finding treasures and finding like deep oceans and rivers flowing inside us that can really help us navigate life, can help us feel like our true selves.
You rock. Oh, what a treasure. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you so much.
It was so good. It was so good to meet with you. Oh, so beautiful. I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to thank you so much for listening to this episode and joining me on this exploration of embodiment today. And I look forward to being more on a regular posting schedule. We have so many upcoming classes as well in our school, in our 30-foot geodesic dome overlooking the water. It's just a phenomenal location in Olympia, Washington. Come take a class here and stay at our Airbnb on the property. We have a polarity therapy APP program, a craniosacral practitioner certificate, a polarity somatic Energetic Practitioner Certificate, and we have some amazing elemental experiential workshops happening this summer for both body workers and non-body workers on the land, exploring some of these movement practices and learning the language of the elements and how energy moves through everything and how we can work with it. So it's open to anyone, no matter your expertise or level of understanding of these principles. And we would love, love, love to have you. Please share this episode with somebody you think it would benefit or resonate with. I would love to be connected to more like minds, so please share away. Look for some upcoming Polarity Somatic yoga classes. Learn more on my website, elevationhive.com. Thank you.
We're